Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me. And we're ministering on the subject, the power that we have in the name of Jesus. As beloved children of God, we have the legal and redemptive right to use the name of Jesus in asking and receiving from God. In Matthew 18:18-19, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And then I'd like to read another passage found at the close of the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter. And these are the words of Jesus. They're in red. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." And he itemizes, he lists them. "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing," incidentally, that's not referring to actual serpents. It's talking about spiritual warfare. The devil was clothed as a serpent, remember, in the Garden of Eden. "It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word, in other words, what he had just said to them, with signs following. Amen. So ends the Gospel of Mark. Now, as I shared yesterday, there are some who say, well, you know, signs and miracles, they were just for the early church. That was just, you know, Jesus was the Son of God, and he was able to do those miracles. Well, Jesus did what he did as a miracle worker, but not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. He did not begin public ministry until he was baptized of John the Baptist in Jordan, and then he was in the wilderness for 40 days and nights, fasting and being tested and tempted of the devil. He then went out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the works that he did and the works the apostles did and disciples, and throughout all the time since that church was established, since the Christian church was established, it was through the power of the Holy Ghost. He was demonstrating how we could do the very acts that he was commanding. Now, there are some that say, well, you know, that was just, it's not for the day in which we're living. In fact, some of our popular translations today, the Bible, for example, I'll give you the NIV. This is what they say. "The two most reliable early manuscripts do not have verses 9 through 20. They don't have those words of Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Another version says it's not found in the most ancient manuscripts. And you think, oh my goodness, well, you know, maybe that was just added. Maybe that's not really inspired. Well, beloved, years ago when I was in Bible college, the instructor mentioned this, that there are 4,200 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, and of them, 680 contain the Gospel of Mark. From time to time over the years, I've shared this, but if you've not heard this, this is important. 680 contain the Gospel of Mark, that's of the Greek manuscripts, the ancient ones, and only two do not have the disputed verses. Do you see the dishonesty of men trying to take away God's power? In other words, 678 do have the full verses, the 20 verses of that last chapter, 16. And the three Latin verses, I'll have them. It was never questioned until the 4th century. And so we know the devil has always wanted to take the power of God from the church because he fears that. So, beloved, we have power in the name of Jesus. That's how the apostles, that's how Christians who believed in the power of God and in the power of the name of Jesus throughout the centuries. St. Patrick, for example, he had miracles. So many of those early saints, we don't read of them, but the Celtic saints, my goodness, after the Roman Empire collapsed, much of the centrality of Christianity went to the British Isles. The Irish monks kept the scriptures alive because Rome was being overrun by the barbarians. And so God, no matter how man is trying to take away and destroy the word of God, they've never succeeded. And what does John say, the Gospel of Mark? In John 14, verses 12 through 15, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whoever believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Why? The why is not there. I'm just, being rhetorical. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And in the 15th chapter of John, verse 16, Jesus goes on to speak to us. He was speaking to his disciples, but they were recorded for us today. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Brother, sister, I don't know when you came to a knowledge of Jesus, when you were saved, but you were hand-chosen, hand-picked by God. He ordained you to be alive in this hour in which you are living. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. He goes on to say that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that that fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Do you realize how powerful those words of Jesus are? Now, God is familiar with his times are in his hands. He knows before we are ever born the plans that he has for us. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And there are seasons in our lives, seasons as a babe, as a child growing up, as a young adult, as a mature adult, as advancing in years. All the seasons of our lives, I am absolutely confident of that. They may change. I mean, if you were, say, 30 years ago raising a family, well, now maybe your family is raised. They have families of their own. It's still a season in which your life may accomplish much for the Lord. You may have different responsibilities, obligations, commitments, but whatever the season you are in your life, you will have much fruit if you are obeying the Lord and seeking his face, and that fruit should remain. That and whatsoever you can ask the Father in the name of Jesus, because remember that's how Jesus said we were to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Pray after this manner. We're not heard for our much speaking, but for the faith and trust we have in God. And the word goes on to say, "And in that day," Jesus says, "you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive," what a wonderful promise, "that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God." Praise God. Beloved, these statements are the direct words of Jesus. He has given us unqualified use of his name. to carry on the work of God in the earth. We have the power of attorney, if you will, in the name of Jesus. All that God has invested in that name is ours. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:21 and 22, for all things are yours. How amazing is that? And let's take a moment to look at those verses. Verse 18, he goes on to say, let them become as fools. Let him become a fool by accepting God's wisdom, which the world calls foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 1:18-20, verse 18 states, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Hallelujah. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why we need to understand it is the Spirit of God that is drawing men to, because the natural man, unless the Holy Spirit begins to move on them, they can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. And our job, for our loved ones, for our neighbors, for friends, family, we're to pray that God will open their heart, that they can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be open to the word of life and truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, my time has flown, and we will have to bring this broadcast to a close. It's been a joy to share with you. I know these may be very familiar passages, but I'm praying the Holy Spirit will make them so alive and so real in our lives that we will go forth with a new anointing, a new power, a new understanding to do those greater works that Jesus said we would do. And you know what? They begin in prayer. I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer is going to give our contact information. I invite you to share your mailing address so I can respond personally should you email. I love you. I pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.